Israel is spicing things up in Syria. We're going to talk about all that and take a look at my interview with Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. That's coming up on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel will defend its territory with resoluteness on, what was that, Monday, and talked about the strikes that Israeli aircraft made on Iranian positions just outside Damascus. Now think about that. Iran is trying to build capacity inside Syria. Why are they doing that? Because Iran wants to have a crescent, they call it the Iranian crescent, going all the way from Tehran all the way into Lebanon. They want to have a pipeline where they can ship weapons and support to Hezbollah inside Lebanon. And they want to do that specifically to target Israel. Well, Israel's having none of it. And so every time Iran gets a foothold inside Syria, Israel goes in and bombs it. What precipitated this attack was the fact that some missiles were fired out of Syria the other day into Gaza. And so you fire missiles out of Syria into Gaza, don't be surprised if Israel comes in and bombs the heck out of you. Now, what always gets me is the response from Iran. They're just like, how could Israel bomb us? That's just so wrong. What, you mean bomb you because you were bombing them first? Now, look, Israel cannot afford to have an Iranian crescent, but that's yet another reason why we need to have U.S. troops in Syria right now, because that they are keeping that from happening. They have the ability, just by their very presence, to keep that from happening. But when the U.S. pulls out, it creates a power vacuum, and that power vacuum, there's a lot of players that rush to fill it. Russia, Turkey, and Iran. So none of those people are good ideas to have in Syria right now. And so that's one reason why the American troops need to stay. I talked a lot about that on my recent interview on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson. So let's take a look at that. But first, I want to take a look at what Israel had to say about the strikes that they made into Syria the other day. Check it out.
Good morning. What happened yesterday morning when the rockets launched from Syrian territory targeted Israeli civilian cities on the north of Israel. These attacks were unprovoked, and it is again a sign of the aggression coming from Syria by Iranian proxies. No one will allow that to happen. No sovereign nation would allow these attacks to go unpunished. That's exactly what we did. We punished those who launched the rockets into our territory. We struck numerous Iranian military sites in Syria. Yeah, I said Iranian. It wasn't the Syrian military, it was the Iranian facilities that we attacked. And I want to be very clear about that. We will not tolerate any aggression against Israel. We will attack forcefully anyone who will attack Israel.
Okay, so these sites that Israel was blowing up inside Syria, they belong to the Iranian Quds Force. That's like their special forces. And so, not surprising that they would do that, and I think they had every justification to do so. But let's learn a little bit more about the situation in Syria by listening to my conversation with Pat Robertson on the 700 Club the other day. Check it out.
Turkey and Russia now patrol northern Syria side by side as Turkish President Erdogan moves ahead to annex much more land bordering his country. Local Syrians showing their displeasure, with some pelting a Turkish patrol with rocks near the town of Derik. One protester was run over by a Turkish vehicle and later died. Turks fired what they claimed to be tear gas to disperse the protests. The questionable chemical, however, sent 10 unconscious people to the hospital, a result rarely caused by tear gas. Doctors at this hospital in Tal Tamer have treated more than 700 casualties so far.
The Kurds in this area have faced so much injustice from this invasion, and we sometimes feel powerless to stop the bloodshed.
So this reconnaissance we're doing of the frontline area here just south of Sarıkaniye shows that this YPG position is surrounded on three sides at the moment by the Free Syrian Army, off to the west, to the north, and to the east. But they're not quite as worried about being attacked from those positions as they are about indirect fire. That's mortars and artillery, because they just had a round land back behind them. They don't know if that's like a reconnaissance by fire or if the enemy's actually bracketing them to try to bomb this target. The other thing we have to worry about is what we can hear overhead right now, and that's the Turkish drones circling looking for a target.
Many of the wounded at this hospital are victims of Turkish drone attacks. Dave Eubank, leader of the Free Burma Rangers aid group, has been working in the area for more than 3 weeks.
We had a mobile casualty collection point. We had to hide our vehicles because of Turkish drone strikes. In the last 3 days, 26 people have been killed by drone strikes in this area alone.
It's clear these drones are going after more than just military targets. Eubank's own marked ambulance took a hit November 2nd, wounding two and killing one of their ethnic Kachin medics, 37-year-old Zhao Sang. He died on his baby daughter's first birthday. Eubank's crew has had several close calls during their trip. When I was there, we received a mission to rescue a wounded man from behind FSM lines. Before we left, we prayed.
And help us to get the people out. And
we drove into the area, and things were quiet at first. But then this happened.
There's a gun truck moving your way. Right near the water tower, gun truck moving your way.
The FSA had spotted us, and we ran back to our ambulances as they moved machine guns into place.
Get in.
On guard!
Dang. They're shooting right there at the berm.
They're shooting at the berm.
Should I get out and help our buddy?
Yeah.
Go ahead and go.
I'm gonna block him.
Hey, wait for our buddy. Our buddy. Stop.
Come on.
Hogar!
Come on.
Hogar! Hogar!
Let's go!
Hogar, come on!
Taking fire.
Go, you guys pull out. Everybody pull out.
They're all yelling at him when we go to pull out.
Go.
Drive, man, drive.
Drive.
Go. A lot of tracers coming back.
Pull back!
Really?
Here you go, Dave. Please.
Drive fast, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Not too fast. Slow down.
All right, take it easy.
It took several more tries, and it was after dark before we finally rescued the wounded man. We got him to the hospital, and doctors said he will survive. But Turkey's president is undeterred, vowing to continue the fight against what he calls terrorists, while local aid groups estimate more than 300,000 have fled the area. Meanwhile, medical people on the ground have labeled these civilian drone strikes as war crimes.
And so we asked for a stop to the Turkish drones. Five ambulances have been taken out early. And so this has got to stop. It's evil.
All we want is to be able to live in peace like any other nation. We just hope President Trump will remember us. And maybe then he can do something to help our situation.
Our CBN News contributor Chuck Holton has joined. Chuck, you were there, those pictures, they were actually shooting 50 caliber machine guns. You were in what, an ambulance?
Yes, we were in, we had three armored ambulances in there.
Yeah.
And the Free Syrian Army and the Turks were shooting at the ambulances daily. Everywhere they went, they got shot at. And
They knew they were ambulances. They were clearly marked.
Clearly marked ambulances. That's a war crime. There's no two ways about it. And the Turks have very high technology drones, and they can recognize your face from the sky. Well, but they were shooting at our ambulances.
Well, they shot at anything that moved.
That's right. Civilians and military alike.
It didn't matter. You were there. Now, you know, the news is sort of conflicted. And the president says Erdogan is a good guy. He's a patriot. He's a thug.
If you listen to the people who really know Syria, they will tell you that Erdogan is this generation's Adolf Hitler. There's no two ways about it. He supports the Muslim Brotherhood. He supports ISIS. There's incontrovertible proof of that. And the Free Syrian Army is made up of about 35,000 people who escaped Raqqa as they were fighting for ISIS. So the Free Syrian Army, which is supported by the Turks, is ISIS 2.0 with air support.
So he supports the brother, Muslim Brotherhood supports ISIS, and the Free Syrian Army is intent on destroying Kurds, Christians, Yazidis, everybody living there.
Yeah, they're pushing everybody out of that area, and there has not been 1 hour of actual ceasefire in that 30-kilometer zone where the ceasefire is supposed to be in effect right now. And so we've got 300,000 people that have fled that area, at least. Most of them have gone to a town called Al-Hasaka, which Turkey bombed their water supply, so now Al-Hasaka doesn't have very good water. And they don't have food. Most of their food and medicines and everything came out of Turkey, which they're not getting now. So it's shaping up to be one heck of a really big humanitarian crisis.
What should we have done in the early days? The president pulled troops out, and he said, well, we'll leave that zone to the Turks. It was like Munich. I said it was like Munich, like Chamberlain.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. The real question is, what do we do with 19 nuclear bombs that are in Turkey right now and 5,000 U.S. troops? We've still got thousands of U.S. troops in Turkey. And if we push Turkey too far, then they kind of have some leverage over us because of the presence of our nukes and our troops in their country.
Well, they've got that insular air base.
Right, two air bases there. Yeah,
they've got two bases.
We have two bases.
Two bases in
Turkey. Yes, and like I say, 5,000 or 6,000 troops there. But so everything that we do to alienate Turkey pushes them into the arms of the Russians. So it is a very complex and difficult situation.
Well, now, right now, that's part of Syria, and it's being patrolled by Russians and Turks together?
That's correct, and the FSA. And now there are 600 U.S. troops back in there who say that they are supporting the Syrian Democratic Forces, the Kurds, against ISIS. But they're not supporting them against the FSA, which is ISIS. They're supporting them against any ISIS cells that happen to pop
these
up.
These drones are so sophisticated, they can see. I mean, you could read a label on.
They've shown at air shows where they can recognize your face from 2,500 feet. They are kind of reverse engineered U.S. Reapers. They're built in Turkey, and they carry a couple of bombs on the wings there. You could see them in the photo, the bombs on the wings, and they're very high precision munitions. They can land within a foot of whatever they're shooting at. And they bombed several of the positions that we had been at right after we left.
Well, you were with the Free Burma Rangers, and they were trying to rescue somebody who had been wounded by the Turks.
By the FSA, but yes. And it was behind FSA lines where we went.
Well, the FSA is?
Is the Free Syrian Army, which is the Turkish
militia. And it's made up primarily of ISIS fighters?
I would say so, yeah. Absolutely.
Chuck, this is appalling.
It is. There's no question about it. The Free Syrian Army are doing exactly what ISIS did, which is raping and killing and pillaging everywhere they go. And the only difference is that now they have air support and artillery support from Turkey. And so they have a free hand in that area that's supposed to be under a ceasefire. Remember, Erdogan guaranteed President Trump that they would have a permanent ceasefire there now.
Well, he said he will not target religious minorities. He will not target national groups. And he guarantees there'll be peace and security. He broke every one of those. He,
without a doubt. And like I say, there has not been 1 hour where they're not shooting at people.
What can we do? I mean, I am so appalled at this.
It really is appalling, and especially when you see the incredible amount of suffering that didn't have to happen because, there's a way for everybody to, there's enough land out there for everybody to have their peace. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to repatriate the people out of Turkey that are Syrian refugees. Yeah. There's a way to do that, but tweeting about it and saying we're going to pull everybody out before you even consult with the Pentagon is probably not the best way to do it.
Well, we've entertained Erdogan at the White House. Yesterday, he was at the White House. The president was saying he's a good guy. He's a patriot. The people love him.
Well, maybe he's a good guy, but his troops are causing untold suffering and hardship in northern Syria. And we saw it firsthand, and it didn't have to be that way. Well, all we need to do is declare a no-fly zone over that area and say, look, no flying there. And the Kurds can hold their own as long as they're not getting bombed every day.
I suggested that we recognize an independent Kurdistan. Yes. If we had supported the Kurds, we wouldn't have this problem.
That's right. That's right. The Kurds aren't lily white either, but the bottom line is they are our best friends in that region. They have a saying in Kurdistan. They're very optimistic people, and they have a saying that the Americans will always do the right thing once they've expended all other options.
Chuck, I'm the Free Burma Ranger, they're still over there, Eubanks and his crew.
They are, and they're under fire every day. They're still taking wounded people out, going in and helping the civilians. One of the tenets of the Free Burma Rangers is that they will not run if the people can't run. Okay. And so when you think about the depth of that commitment, we saw it when Zaw Sang, their medic, was killed because they were at a casualty collection point and they were helping wounded people, and Turks
you
bombed
see,
them.
Without question, these are war crimes. What's being done now? War crimes.
Bombing a marked ambulance is a war crime. There's no two ways about that.
Chuck, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our government has made some serious blunders. Serious blunders. And this one is one of the most appalling. And Erdogan is a friend of ISIS. He's a thug. He wants to be, what does he want to be? He wants to set up the caliphate? Is that it? Is he?
He really does. I really believe in talking with the experts that we had with us in Syria. And these are guys that have worked in Damascus, that have worked for the CIA. They say that what Erdogan wants is a buffer zone between him and Syria. And that's why he has been supporting ISIS, because he wants to establish that caliphate. And it didn't work trying to establish it up the river, because that was the wrong direction. This now establishes it horizontally between his country and Syria.
Well, they got Baghdadi, but really Erdogan is much more dangerous, isn't he?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And you're talking about the ninth largest military in the world, the second largest in NATO after the United States. So, and again, we have some very important assets in his country. Yeah. And so it is a delicate situation. We've got to figure out, you know, how to extract ourselves from that. And probably if I was the president, I would close Incirlik and reopen it in Erbil.
Yeah.
And make that our base in that area.
Well, Erbil's big enough to handle it. Chuck Holton, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you probably never heard it like this. This is firsthand. We're telling you what's happening. It's time the American people wake up to this slaughter that's taking place under our auspices with the head of Turkey. Chuck Holton.
All right, folks. Well, I think we'll probably move on and talk about things other than Syria finally, because I'm getting tired of talking about it. I hope you're enjoying the podcast and the Hot Zone. It looks like we've got some exciting things coming up for the new year. And I hope your holidays are going to go great. We're going to take a couple days off for Thanksgiving next week, and I hope you will too. So I'm Chuck Holton, and this has been The Hot Zone.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.